Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. This episode is dedicated to Patronus Charles. Oh, Charles, how much I love you.
Charles.
Charles is in charge of my heart.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah. He's also known as Chuck Deasy. He's super cool. He's been a longtime Patronus. And he's one of my favorite people. The only problem with Charles is he did get into a beef with Bev, the dispatcher, because he ate her lean cuisine and she's trying to count her points and it makes it very difficult for her to keep track.
When did Bev the dispatcher come to life?
I believe it was in the Lacey Peterson episode.
I think it was. I think you're right. Bev the dispatcher was born.
Yeah, Bev the dispatcher has become very important in our lives. She's sort of an albatross around our necks. And we are secretly gleeful that Charles took her lean cuisine.
She's a little bit like Linda.
Yeah, she deserved it. She deserved it. But she's now passive aggressive for Charles, and it is ruining his workplace environment. And that I don't go for.
I'm sorry for that, Charles.
Yeah, you don't
deserve
that.
No one deserves that.
No one, especially not you. Charles is a dedicated bingo player. He's the first one to put the bingo sleeves into the plastic sleeves and do it with marker. And
so
now he plays with coins. He puts like quarters on it.
Oh, that's smart. He was using like an Expo marker to do the...
Yes. Genius.
Smart.
Yeah. We love you, Charles. I hope you enjoy your episode. Thank you so much for being a Patreon. We couldn't do this without you.
Insert Charles in Charge song here.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I see I want Charles in charge of me.
So this episode is called 11 Minutes. I think it's a pretty good title, and that's probably why I'm completely blocked and have no other titles. I sat for an hour. I got nothing.
You did not sit for an hour thinking of titles, doing nothing and staring at the wall and thinking of titles.
I mean, that's basically what I did. I was watching the episode again, and I kept saying to my dad, give me another title. I need a title. And he's like, why? And I was like, if you had ever listened to the freaking show, you would know. He's all upset because he lost one Instagram follower overnight. And he thinks he's an influencer. And so it's bothersome to him. But
yeah, if he starts getting free makeup, let me know.
Yeah, if he gets a Birchbox, I will totally tell you. If he gets any, like, I'm mad. If he starts getting makeup or the fit fun, whatever.
Bad fit fun.
Yeah. If he gets a free anything, I'm going to be really mad. If I come home and he's cooking every plate with his 100 followers, 160, I don't know. He started out at 7. So he's really happy that I'm building him up and making him an influencer.
So is he gonna direct message the one he lost and say, hi, how can I win you back?
Would it help if I actually posted a picture on Instagram? Because he has never posted a picture.
Oh, no. So he just comments on everything?
He just comments
that's
on
not...
our posts really
Bob.
Sarcastically.
No, Bob. That's what we call an insta-troll.
Yeah. He's a
it's
lurker.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to lurk around and make snarky comments and then dash out.
Yeah. That's
Show
what he
yourself.
Does. Yeah. And then he doesn't really know how to go back. So if people respond to him, he doesn't really know how to go back and check that.
Oh, so it's like me in Twitter.
Yeah. It's like you'll write something and then people write you back. So this episode is Eclectic Alabama. I like that name.
Yeah.
I might name,
I figured you would.
If I had a child, I would maybe name her Eclectic. No, that would be terrible.
Oh my God.
That would be terrible. I take it back. I just threw up in my mouth.
No, yeah.
No.
I was going to say, if somebody else had named their child that and you heard
it. I would make so much fun.
The eye roll would be so severe
yeah.
that you'd get a migraine from how hard you rolled your eyes.
Yeah. No, I don't know why I...
No.
No.
But if you had an antique mall, the Eclectic Antique Mall...
Yeah.
...would be a great name for that.
So we're pulling it back to the parents that bought the antique mall.
I've been thinking a lot about antique malls since that episode, so... Yeah. There's a world of possibilities if you have an antique mall for what you can name it.
Right. And it shouldn't just be a boring antique mall.
It wasn't. It was Time Travelers. It was the Time Travelers antique mall. But I feel like you could go further with it.
I think they're fans of Doctor Who.
But I think it'd be funnier if you did something like sort of an obscure H.G. Wells reference or something that would be a little neat. I think that would be kind of a fun...
No, I was just listening to Kumail Nanjiani's stand-up comedy, and he's asking people in the audience who plays video games, and then he's like, what's your username to this guy? And this user guy says this username, and everyone's like, what? Like, laughing, like, I have no idea. He's like, what is that? And he's like... It's a Dostoevsky reference. And Kumail is like, so that's, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Okay. That's the douchiest thing I've ever heard. Does anyone get it? Do they laugh at you? Has anyone ever gotten it?
No one.
And then like,
it's throughout, like a Crime and Punishment reference.
No, it's another book that I have not even.
No, well, then that's even worse.
Yeah.
So it's an obscure Dostoevsky book.
Yeah.
No, we're done. No, we're done.
And so then throughout the thing, he'll like be telling a joke and he's like, it's the, well, now it's the second douchiest thing you'll hear tonight. Thank you, Mr. Dostoevsky.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. It's very funny. So this episode, 11 Minutes, is from April 19th, 2019, season 27, episode 31, hosted by Josh Mankey, our BFF.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh. You're not listening, but we love you anyways.
Just in case.
Yeah, in case you're listening. Maybe you're going to listen. So he does like us. I just don't think he actually listens to us.
Also, good job, Josh, if you're listening.
He did a great job.
Good job. Nice work.
Very nice work. Yes, A++. So this episode takes place in 2016 in Eclectic, which I will not be naming my child after. In fact, I'm not going to have a child, but if I did.
Nor an antique mall.
Eclectic Love?
Nope. What are you doing?
Electric Love? Your favorite song from Bob's Burgers?
Eclectic Love.
Is that something?
So it would be, Eclectic Love would be an open mic poetry slam night.
Mm-hmm.
You would not attend.
I've got a thick skin and an eclectic heart. See ya.
Okay. Yes, I know. I see it. I see it.
Thousands of people have shut this off by now.
So many people are like, goodbye and good night. I tried with the date with Dateline, but I couldn't.
I gave it a chance. I gave it 11 minutes, which is the title, and I couldn't even make it through that. So this episode is about a family. Madison is the son. There's two other children who we do not hear from at all. And
they're younger, by the way.
They're younger.
Boys.
April and Michael, and two twin uncles, who we'll get into later.
Mm-hmm.
Madison.
Twins.
Twin. I know. So excited. You love twins.
I do.
So Madison was kind of a wild teenager, drinking and smoking pot and partying. His parents, it just seemed fairly run of the mill, but I think it was escalating to become a bigger problem. His parents were separating. They told him if he got in trouble again, he was going to be arrested. He had one chance left. And so what does he do? His dad goes to work and he throws a house party.
Where's his dad work? Is he throwing a house party during the day?
Yeah, that was my question. Very strange because from what we had gathered, the dad was retired or had stepped down. We'll get to that. I'm not quite sure what time of day this house party was. I think it was the night before, actually. So
he had a night job.
I think
so
he had a night
job.
So the
dad had like a graveyard shift. Yeah. And for some reason, Madison is staying at his dad's.
He lives with his dad now that the parents are separated.
And the younger brothers live with the mom.
Not sure about that.
I bet you they do because I think they're much younger. I think they're much younger.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just get this right out of the way. Madison is basically a teenage dirtbag. He's a teenage boy. And that comes with the territory. So... he's kind of a bag of wieners by definition. He doesn't look like a Madison to me. He looks like a Tyler.
His name isn't Madison.
It's Jesse.
Correct. He's a Jesse.
But is he choosing to go by Madison?
No, Madison's the middle name.
Okay, but he is choosing to go by that.
He is choosing to go by Madison, but come to find out, the dad, Michael, his first name is also Jesse.
Oh, so they both go by their middle names.
Jesse is some sort of a family name on the dad's side, and they both go by the middle names.
That's it.
So there we go. So this it's not like
the lineage, like half the town is named Jesse something. It's like a Sir Davos, Sir Jorah.
I hope that's the case.
Yes. But instead, that would it's make Jesse.
Me really happy.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
But I think that seriously, it's a lot less irritating.
Jesse?
Knowing that the dad's name is also Jesse. They all go by the middle name.
Right,
like
yeah.
It's not because, yeah.
Because he thinks Madison's a cooler name.
Madison for a boy. Interesting.
Can I just say Twitter? I have not seen Twitter this divided since the blue dress and the gold dress. People were livid, like, oh, I've not seen a boy's name, blah, blah, blah. And then so many people were like, Madison is a unisex name. Like, throwing down. People were amped about this.
Interesting.
Well, I only think I have heard of girl Madisons.
I have too, but I also come from a family where my sister's name is Riley. And when Riley was named Riley, that was a boy name.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So it was always a surprise to have a girl named Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's a lot more common.
Yeah.
But I think that we might start seeing more boy Madisons popping up.
I am going to call Madison Tyler Madison because that is more what he looked like to me.
Yeah.
It's like Ashley Tyler. Madison / Madison Reed / Holly Madison from Girls Next Door.
Girls Next Door.
To Tyler, to me, he looks like a Tyler Madison. He has like a shock of like surfer blonde hair. He thinks he's kind of a gangster. He like.
Is that a person? Is Tyler Madison a real person?
I don't know. Should I check first? No, I've never heard of them.
I'm sure there's a million Tyler Madisons out there.
I'm not talking about you personally. Yeah. But you know what? I did get some flack for calling Natalie's the psychopaths who wear a white dress to your wedding because poor Natalie Bannon was like, why did she have to be named Natalie? And then I said, I'm going to have to start thinking of girls' names that don't offend anyone. And so people were writing in suggestions like, if I change the lettering of people's names, like Game of Thrones, where you add like an E in there. You know?
Yeah, there we go.
Or
yeah, like an umlaut.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I just add an umlaut. Or if I pick like flower names or names of colors or something instead of saying Linda, like poor Linda. I'm so sorry for all the Lindas out there.
What you need is a baby book from like 1955.
Right.
And then you can pick any of those names. Go with Blanche. Go with like some of these other Doris.
Clementine. Doris.
Doris. Yeah. These are all Francis.
There might be Dorises out there still.
I hope there are Dorises out there.
Yeah. In the one picture that I'm speaking of, he is flipping like a wannabe gang sign, you know, like the backwards peace sign thing.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he's super cool. I'm thinking he probably has a poster of Nicki Minaj in his bedroom that makes me very uncomfortable. Because it's super raunchy.
Maybe. I could see. I don't know.
Or do you think he has a poster of Linkin Park?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he's a little more that, like, Fred Durst.
So, Michael, the dad, who is actually Jesse Michael, was a former mayor and fire chief. And he is very into his reputation. They mention it multiple times that he is very upset that his son's drunken behavior, partying, will ruin his reputation in the town. So much more on that later.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Michael called the cops on his son. He called the sheriff's office. And the sheriff, who we will get to know tremendously, who Mankey doesn't, I don't think, particularly like, sends a deputy.
Really?
Yeah. Sends a deputy to the house. Now, the deputy that he sends to the house to deal with this situation with Tyler Madison is the sheriff's son.
Yeah.
That's very important. And
it's one of those kinds of towns.
It's one of those kinds of towns. So Michael, the dad, greets the deputy in the yard and says, okay, when you go in the house, you're going to see Tyler Madison in handcuffs because I'm trying to discipline him.
Mm-hmm.
So the deputy goes in and Madison is in handcuffs and April, the mom, is there trying to deal with the son and she's very upset. And are we just supposed to like pretend that handcuffing your teenage child is like a totally normal thing to do? Is this Alabama justice?
Yeah, no, I think I could see that.
I think it's insane. Kimberly justice. Bam.
Okay. I don't know. I think that.
You think it's an Alabama thing?
No, I think it's a parenting thing.
It
I don't
is.
Know. I don't have kids. So I'm trying to think of a 17-year-old boy who's like kind of out of control and like you're trying to scare him straight.
Right.
So the dad was like, you know, former fire chief. And
yeah,
is
but
like, no,
do fire
we're not going to do this.
And mayors have handcuffs in their house? Or was that for kinky stuff?
No, you stop that. It was not for
kinky
stuff.
Why would he have it?
I think...
He was a paramedic.
Unsure. I can't answer that question. I plead the fifth. I don't know.
So Michael is asking the deputy, how can I get Tyler Madison in front of a judge? Because I want a judge to scare him straight. He's totally out of control and we are at our wit's end. And the deputy tells him, well, tomorrow you can pick up the paperwork about this visit and you can pursue things like that in juvenile court. And so the deputy leaves. 11 minutes later, where we get the title from, there's a 911 call. Inside the bedroom, there are two bodies on the floor with the gun between them. And whatever happened was in that 11 minutes. Much like the 12 minutes on Elm Street.
Yes.
Where we don't totally know what happened. Although there are audio recordings. Hi, Ulysses. Are you going to climb onto the computer? What you doing?
She needs attention.
If this lasts for 11 minutes, Ulysses.
It's not. She's just got...
Ulysses, is your first name Jesse? Are you Jesse Ulysses?
I'm going to start... That's my new Starbucks order. Jesse Katie?
Jesse with an X?
Jesse Katie with an X. Thank you.
So... I did keep getting a little bit confused between, oh my God, all I see on the camera is cat fur belly.
She's on the mic. Okay. Ulysses. Ulysses. She's going for the mic. Okay. All right. Yeah. You did good. Look at you.
Good job. You made it onto the show.
Take a nap. Yeah. Look at you. You got everyone's attention. You did real good.
So Madison had gone to his neighbor's house. And he had said his parents were in a physical fight, and the neighbor called 911. The fight happened right after the deputy left, and Madison says it was about his behavior, he thinks.
So, because he said they go into the bedroom.
They go into the bedroom, close the door, and then they were arguing.
Got it.
So by the time the police get there, Michael is already dead. He's the one of the bodies on the floor, and April is shot and unconscious. The police think right away that Michael had shot her and then killed himself because April was shot through her hand first and then in the head. And Michael seemed to be self-inflicted. Okay. So we rewind and April had gotten together with Michael in high school and they had gotten married and had three kids. Michael was a big shot in town, the fire chief and then the mayor. And they seemed happy for a long time. But then he kind of turned mean and was not being nice to her. And April couldn't take it anymore. So she left. Michael did not want to separate. They were not on speaking terms until that day when Michael texted her and said, come over here and help me deal with Tyler. He threw a party. And so she like reluctantly went over there. But they weren't really speaking other than that. The cops discover that there's actually an entry wound in the back of Michael's head. And that's what changes everything. The police think the only way he could have shot himself in the back of the head is to hold the gun upside down and with his left hand, even though, to quote my best friend Bianca from Suspicion, Michael was staggeringly right-handed.
No.
Yes.
Who said he was staggeringly right-handed?
They said he was right-handed.
Yeah. I read another thing that said he was ambidextrous.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
So, just saying.
I think that.
It's convenient if he's right-handed for what the police then go for.
Well, they show a picture of him playing a guitar with the right hand, and that's pretty much all they have. And they just say he was right-handed. But that is very interesting if he was ambidextrous. Interesting. Yeah. So the pathologist says that it's a homicide. And at this point, Mank has a very simple leading question to ask, as all interviewers do on every show ever. He says to the sheriff, and so you go forward with the homicide investigation. And the sheriff says, well, it's not a head scratcher. You've got a piece of paper that says homicide. No, sir.
Oh, my God.
You do not get to be sassy to Mank. We can be sassy to Mank. All of us Dateline lovers can be sassy to Mank. But you, sir, with the tiny little star on your lapel, because you need to remind us that you're the sheriff, and also you're probably trying to one-up Josh's hanky. I don't think so. Good day, sir.
Good day. I said good day.
You get that little star out of here. Mm-mm. I was not happy. April,
I did not notice that he was that sassy.
Yes. He said it's not a head scratcher.
He didn't say it like that, did he?
That's how I interpreted it.
Okay, I see. You were on the defensive already.
Not until that moment.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
I mean, well, his haircut and his face reminds me, as I've said this many times before, there are people on Dateline with gray shocks of shucks. What am I trying to say?
Locks?
No, I'm trying to say shock.
Of gray hair.
Yeah, I'm trying to say shock. You know, I don't know.
And you're saying shuck, so it's
shuck,
interesting.
Like shucking corn. So or shucking an oyster on a pearl party.
At a pearl party.
Yep.
If you guys don't know what a pearl party is, just go to Facebook and type it in.
You will never forgive us because it will take over your whole life.
You won't. You'll be
the dumbest and the most intriguing, you can't stop watching thing on the internet right now.
Apologies in advance to anyone who is actively participating in the pearl selling companies.
Oh my God, if you are, reach out to us.
Yeah, but if you are, we need to know everything. So it's important that you message us.
We and People Are Wild want to know everything. I got Kim from People Are Wild hooked, and she texts me at like 3 in the morning. She's like, I have a 10-hour nurse's shift tomorrow, and I'm watching this freaking pearl party.
Yeah, you'll be upset because you'll look up at the clock and realize that 45 minutes have gone by.
Yeah.
And you're into it now.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. So ridiculous. April is in the hospital. She's been shot in the head and she unfortunately does not make it. And the police think, well, two people were shot and there was a third person in the house that survived. So he is the killer. He's their prime suspect and he's being questioned. Now we meet two of April's brothers. They're twins and one of them was a cop. So he sits in on the interrogation, which people kind of thought was weird that he was sitting in on the interrogation. But Tyler's a minor. So, and both of his parents are now dead. So it seemed totally normal to me that an uncle would
17.
Sit in. Yeah. And the legal age in Alabama, I looked it up, is 19.
So we're doing like the Brandon Dassey situation again, where like no one was sitting in.
Yeah.
And
so all of you that thought that was weird, I don't know why you thought that was weird. So they did kind of think he was giving him leading questions a little to try to help him. Even Mank calls him on it, but I don't know about that. So Madison says his parents were in the bedroom fighting. He heard his mom scream, help. He kicked the door in. I don't even know if he tried the knob first or he just wanted to try kicking it in because he had been playing Fortnite or something and really wanted to kick a door in.
I don't think he kicked it. He said he smashed it.
What does that mean? Like,
I'm assuming he used his shoulder.
Did he use like an axe, like in The Shining?
No, he smashed it with his shoulder, but I don't know.
That's still a TV cop movie.
But also keep in mind, he has his handcuffs on.
That's true. That's
so how he has to kick it or like punch it with his shoulder, like get in
there.
That's
true.
To get
You're
the door
right.
Open.
His hands are behind his back.
So the house seemed like I don't know what it's called. I don't.
Quarters?
It's no.
Disarray.
It's not, yeah, it was in disarray, the dad's house was, but which makes more sense later.
Yeah.
But it's more the type of house it is. It's not a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a trailer per se, but it's that kind of a tract home that you'd build so that the things aren't heavy. It's not like an old house where there's this really heavy door. It's probably, it could even be an accordion door.
Right. I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that him smashing through the door is as dramatic
as it
sounds. Yeah.
It's like on the Goldbergs and he kicks like through a thing of like cardboard and he's like, I did it. Karate.
Exactly.
I did it.
It's not Karate Kid. It's not the glory of love.
Okay, so he kicks the door in or smashes it in, whatever. He says his dad was holding his mom almost like in a chokehold. And he, instead of like going towards them to help, I think his dad is a lot bigger than him. He ran to the neighbors to get help. And
he's handcuffed.
He's also
handcuffed.
What's
he going to do? Kick his dad in the shin and then fall over?
Kick
and be
him
like,
in the back,
try
he's protege.
No, but he's not going to think. But his dad is holding the mom in front of his Becky's protege. I think the way that He's choking her. She's held in front of his business. He can't kick him.
No, it totally makes sense. So he runs to the neighbor's house. He says he never heard gunshots. Mm-hmm. The cops are right away saying, you did this. And Madison is saying, no, I didn't. The cop leaves the room and Madison flips him off.
Yeah.
And Mankey says, for the sheriff, he thought that was out of left field. And I was like, is it? Both of his parents are dead. And 20 minutes later, you're telling him you're a liar and you did it. And you're like, I was handcuffed behind my back. And then you flip. Like, he's a teenager. He's a punk teenager. Of course he's going to flip him off. Yeah. So the cops say that when they were taking Madison's blood sample, he was talking about homecoming and missing school and stuff like that. And I don't know. Because I remember the Amanda Knox thing and they said all these things that sounded so damning. And then when you actually realize the context of it, it didn't seem damning at all. So I just want to know, you know what I'm saying?
I think I know what happened in this case, actually. I was thinking about it when he said, oh, yeah, I was talking about homecoming. I guarantee you whoever was taking him to draw his blood or do his fingerprints or whatever they were doing probably asked him.
Right.
Probably asked him about school.
Because do you know there's only like 1,000 people in that town? So the person taking the blood probably has a kid at the school.
They're probably just small talking.
I think so, that's what happened with Amanda Knox, and people made it seem like she was flippant. Or maybe he was saying, like, context is everything. Maybe he was saying, I can't believe that yesterday I was worried about homecoming, and now my parents are dead. And the sheriff is saying he's talking about missing homecoming because he's a terrible person. You just don't know unless you know what the context is.
True. So we can't. I mean, he says stuff later that is terrible.
He does. In fact, giving what he says later, you're totally right. I can maybe bet that he was saying, I'm going to miss homecoming. And Danielle totally puts out. So,
yes.
Like, that's probably what he was saying. You're right.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. So this is where we go to the terrible prison phone call, which is video recorded, which I really love because I would love to see Leslie and Kathleen's faces as they're discussing the place where Luigi's funeral was held. Go back and listen to last week and how those bratty cats broke Elizabeth's strawberry shortcake plate and it's her favorite plate. She doesn't have a favorite plate. She's 1 year old. Do 1 year olds have favorite plates? Maybe they do. I don't know about childhood development. I don't know.
Or adult development. Or
I don't know about anything. I don't know about my own development. So, Madison, I'm in arrested development. So, Madison is in the jail, and he's talking on the prison phone. The video is looking at him, and he's asking his friend, I'm going to read it for you, because it is Dostoevsky / Kafka worthy.
Oh, no.
He asks his friend, like, what have, like, all the girls said about it? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, the people I slept with, like, what do they think about it right now? Like, oh, damn, I effed a murderer. So I'd like to arrest him for using, like, 6 times in 3 sentences. And then the sheriff makes it sound like, okay, it's terrible what he's saying. He's being cocky and arrogant and flippant and douchey. But he's not saying he's a murderer. He's saying, do the girls that I've slept with think that they have slept with a murderer?
Yeah. He's wondering what they're thinking about him. And
right.
He's being a teenager. I don't know.
He's being a teenager. It's like, all bravado. Like, I don't know if he's even slept with any girls. But to the ladies of Eclectic, sleeping with teenage dirtbags like Tyler, raise your standards.
I think there's 1,000 people in that town, Kimberly.
Small pickings. You're right.
No, it's a whatever.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
So I think these girls need to get some self-esteem and reach out to a nearby town. And you know what would give them better self-esteem?
What?
Finding a new bra from Lively. Lively is a bra company that is about high style, high comfort. It's about empowering women and giving them confidence so they don't hang out with D-bags like Tyler.
True.
They are so comfortable. Katie, you love yours.
I have to say, of all the bras that I have tried in the last few years, I am really excited about Lively.
Mm-hmm.
they offer a bunch of different styles for all different body types, which is really cool. They go from 32A to 44 triple D, and they have all these different kinds of bras, like the bralettes, the t-shirt bras, the push-up bras, plunge bras, and this really special no-wire bra, which is really comfortable. And they have it in strapless, which is what I got. And I've been looking for a strapless bra forever, and it's perfection. It's really sturdy, and it like holds everything, but it doesn't feel uncomfortable, like you're having to pull it up all the time. It's incredible. I'm really impressed with Lively.
I pre-ordered a new plus size brand that they are having because I think it's awesome. They're doing, they want to fit all women, all sizes.
That's
and most
amazing.
Bra companies aren't ready for all my jelly, and Lively is ready for all my jelly. So I cannot wait to get it. It's going to be arriving very shortly.
Which style did you get? Do you remember?
I got the t-shirt bra.
Okay. That was the other one I was thinking
about. I don't ever
about.
Wear anything dressier than a t-shirt.
I also got the bralette, which is really nice because it has a band. Because normally those bralettes, like they're just nothing. It's like sort of a band of lace. This is not like that. The way that it's built, it has sort of a thicker elastic band. One of their catchphrases is that it's where high style meets ultimate comfort, and I totally buy it. Mm. The fabrics are super soft. They barely feel like you're wearing anything, but then they look beautiful.
Katie
they
loves this really bra. Nice. Like, she's been talking about it off the podcast.
Yeah, I'm really excited about
like
Lively.
Like, texting me about her bra, and I'm like, I don't need to know about your bra, but I'm glad you're happy with it. They have a fit guide online that you can do, and if you, for some reason, don't like it, free returns. They give you a shipping label in your package so you can just mail it right back. It's very easy to do returns.
Right now, for a limited time, you can get $10 off your first order by visiting wearlively.com/datedateline and enter datedateline at checkout.
Only available in the U.S.
So again, that's wearlively.com, wearlively.com. To get $10 off your first order, enter dateline at checkout.
Available only in the U.S.
Awesome. So cool. So once these girls have gotten their new bras, I really think they're going to run from Tyler.
Absolutely.
Not the murder thing, but just the fact that he is kind of a D-bag. So police test his theory that he didn't hear any gunshots when he ran to the neighbor's house. They fire guns and you can hear it. However, I do want to play devil's advocate. Now, you know when your adrenaline is pumping and in the movies, sometimes they have people even get their hearing is all fuzzy, like you see it from their perspective and it's all fuzzy, almost like they've been shot near them and their eardrums are blown out. But it's just like their adrenaline pumping. So I don't know if that's real, but that's in the movies.
No, I 100% thought the same thing. I was like, he wouldn't hear it.
Yeah.
There's a really good chance that he did hear it and doesn't remember hearing it.
Yeah.
It's not what's going through his mind as he's running panicked to the neighbors because he thinks his dad is about to choke his mom to death.
Yeah. I don't think it's that weird that he didn't hear the gunshots. Also,
not a bit.
He could have permanent ear damage from those Linkin Park concerts. We don't know.
He's not going to concerts.
Also, well, listening to music. Also, he could still have drugs in his system from the party the night before. So there's lots of things.
No, he's not still. What'd he do? Eat like 1,000 edibles? No,
maybe.
He's fine.
No, they weren't doing edibles. They were smoking.
No, they had bongs.
They had bongs and
like
a box that, as Mankey says, smelled suspicious.
I liked the way that was put. Good job on that.
I love that.
We all know what that means. And they show a little like box filled with parsley. That's not parsley.
It's parsley. Yeah. It's for cooking. So,
but also, what year is this? This is 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. So illegal.
Probably. In Alabama?
Probably still illegal.
Probably still illegal in Alabama, yeah.
Okay.
So we get what we've newly discovered to be one of Katie's pet peeves. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The sheriff, Sheriff Sarcastic.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
He calls Mank Josh.
By his common name. By his familiar.
By his biblical name.
Right.
Is that right? Is biblical first name?
Don't think so, but that's all right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. So he says, well, you know, Josh.
No.
I said good day, sir. Yeah. So he says, well, you know, Josh, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it feels like a duck and all that.
That's
blah, blah,
not
blah.
It. He says, if it walks like a duck.
Yeah.
If it talks like a duck. If it looks like a duck. If it feels like a duck. If it smells. He said, Josh, if it walks, talks, looks, feels, smells like a duck.
So he addressed every single sense.
I wrote them down. Every single.
I wish he had included a sixth sense If it gives you goosebumps because it's a ghost. All but senses. Like,
does he think that that's going to make his point more valid?
Right.
That he went through all of it?
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And the whole Josh thing negated what he was going to say to me anyways. So that's how I feel. We have gotten more requests for your Donald Duck voice. They said they've only heard it once and it was way too short. It's good.
That's Donald Duck when he gets out of the shower. And he takes the towel and he shimmies it. He shimmies it on his furry little butt. That's it. That's what I'm imagining.
So now is very exciting because Mank is interviewing Tyler Madison. And he's cut off his hair. It's much shorter. And he looks a little bit more like a Colin to me. Madison's high school friends are freaking out because his mugshot is on Snapchat on Daily Mail next to Kim Kardashian. And
I love these current ones. I love them.
They're like the murder is kind of crazy, but the really insane part is that he's on Snapchat next to Kim Kardashian. That was mind-blowing to these kids.
I don't know how Snapchat... Do you know how Snapchat works?
Well, you scroll or you slide to the right. I'm not sure. And so,
but is it based on popular snaps?
Probably.
Is it based on, like, so the fact that he was near Kim Kardashian means that it's a much viewed snap?
No, because it could be like on Twitter. Like Twitter tells me the top tweets or the trending stuff in my area. So it'll say like in Los Angeles, this is what's trending now. So I don't really know if that's all trending all across the country or something. So I'm guessing, I don't think Tyler's mugshot was trending nationwide or worldwide. I think it was definitely trending in Alabama for sure.
In Alabama, that was okay. So that's how you knew the other day the wind was trending.
Yes, LA wind was trending. And I don't know if it was trending worldwide, but it was definitely trending in Los Angeles.
I'm still mad about it for some reason.
It was so windy, Katie. It blew out my hot water. Yes. I had no hot water.
We've discussed, but I'm saying that people are tweeting, like, what are they tweeting?
Like, funny things? Like
Mary Poppins is coming. Yeah. Like, what do you tweet? Like,
basically, yes. Yeah, just basically that. My hair is crazy. This LA wind is something else. Okay. I didn't see many, like, really funny ones that I wanted to retweet.
They're not. That's people talking about the weather. People used to do that on Facebook. Not so much anymore, but it used to be a lot of, like, this is my sandwich. It's so bright out. But, like, my Instagram was filled with Coachella, my personal Instagram, because I follow all these makeup people, and they all went to Coachella, which just, what?
No, wearing their, like, feathers and beaded tops.
But that just needs to change. I don't understand why that sort of bohemian chic look is still going at Coachella. I feel like that should have flipped into something else by now, but we're still in it.
Yeah, no, it's maybe because it's cooler and it's very hot there. Just a way to dress skanky, let's be honest.
It's just like, how can I skankify this Aztec print?
Yeah.
I would like this in a cropped one shoulder.
How can I appropriate Native American style in the skankiest way possible?
By showing my side boob.
Yeah.
That's what I would like. I can't.
So,
depressing.
Do you remember when earlier this season they had Dennis smashing through the fourth wall like the Kool-Aid man?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. They do it again.
Yeah.
We see them slating, Tyler and Mankey slating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, breaking the fourth wall. Also, Maddie and Mankey being best friends. No?
Maddie and Mankey being best friends. Is he in prison? The question is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he hear gunshots?
Was he high? Maddie and Mankey solving the crime.
Love it.
All right.
So Mank comes out of the gate swinging with these questions with his giant. He's swinging that giant pocket square like a baseball bat. And he is like, rapid fire questions. Did you shoot your parents? Did you shoot one of them? Did you shoot your mom? Did you shoot your dad? What's your favorite color? What team do you root for? Ginger or Marianne? Like, he's just coming right at him. And Tyler's like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Like,
yeah.
Marianne, mint chocolate chip. He's just, he's ready for it. So he says after the parents separated, he lived with his dad. His dad had recently found out that April had a new boyfriend and he was freaking out. He had called her, leaving messages like, I can't live without you. And he was crying. Madison said that while he was in jail, he was contemplating how he had kind of gone off track before this whole thing happened, like with partying and stuff. And he started writing apology letters to people. It almost seemed like he was doing the 12 steps.
It did a little bit. So there must be some sort of program.
There definitely is.
Or not.
I don't know.
But maybe he did. I mean, I do know that there is a lot. Aren't there like some like faith-based stuff in the 12 steps?
Yes.
Yeah. So
12 steps are very faith-based. And in prison, there are groups that do that a lot. So he might be on step 9 because he was sending letters to everyone, like at his school. He was sending letters to his friend, the girl that was really excited about Kim K, that he had done something to her in 9th grade or something, and he was really sorry for it. He also says in the letter, "I don't know if you think I did it, but I need to tell you I didn't do it." And then what really gets the friend is he puts a Bible verse about having hope for the future.
And at this point, you need to not be so cynical.
I'm sorry. Do we think everyone who paints their face John 3:16 at a football game is a good person?
No. I will say, I think that maybe his behavior was real gnarly before.
Yes.
And so I think that maybe she's a
believer.
Church-going girl,
yes.
A believer. And so that meant more to her.
Nothing wrong with that. So Tyler tells Mank that he repeatedly asked to take a polygraph test. In fact, he is on camera in the interrogation room without a blanket, because it's not that cold in there, saying, "Can I take a polygraph test? As soon as you guys can get this polygraph test, I want to take it." Like, he's ready that night. Police never gave it to them, which is weird. And also, someone online said that Alabama actually lets you put polygraph results in trial, which I had always thought they were inadmissible.
I think it's only some states it's inadmissible.
So isn't that even more interesting that they wouldn't give him the polygraph, knowing that they could use the results in trial, which leads me to believe they had some doubts that he did it.
So here's the thought that I had is maybe the town is too small. So this town is obviously really tiny. Maybe they don't have access to the technology of the polygraph machine. They probably have to call. No, I'm serious. They probably have to call the county over.
Yeah, that's
to
possible.
To get the person who can administer it.
Yeah, that's possible.
I don't think every police department just has a polygraph.
But they could have done it at any
test.
Time. He's in jail for a year.
No, they absolutely should have done it.
Yeah.
They should have. He requested it and they should have done it. But I'm just saying, I think it maybe wasn't as easy as walking in the other room, going into conference room B, hooking him up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they definitely would have had to call in a special polygraph expert to come in.
Yeah.
So Madison is, I'm starting to be more on Madison's side. And then he always does this thing, like he says one thing too many that make me not on his side. So he's saying, well, I would have passed the polygraph test because it's a lie detector test. And I mean, yeah, sure, some people have found a way to trick it where they're guilty and they're lying and they pass the test. But I didn't know how to do that. I mean, I was 17.
Why would he say that? Because that's what you're thinking. I mean, I thought the same thing.
Well, no, he could have just left it at, I would have passed it. I know I'm innocent. Done. Now, why would he bring up criminals who are so deviant that they have learned how to beat a polygraph machine?
I did not find that odd. I think that I would be over-explaining as well.
You think
so? He's a classic over-explainer.
He 100% is a classic over-explainer. He does it again later at the very end.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. And to me, it was like, why are you talking so much? It makes me think you have something to hide.
No. No, you're just over-explaining it.
Maybe. He's just very self-assured and cocky. You know, he says, they're trying to mess with me, the sheriff's department. They don't know who they're messing with. Like,
yeah, that's a little. I mean,
Lord, give me the confidence of a mediocre white man. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
17-year-old teenage dirtbag.
Yes. Yeah. Now, all of his mom's family is standing by him, including the one twin that's the cop that was sitting in and the other twin who has a Flock of Seagulls haircut going on.
Yes. No, he just has a shock of white.
With shock of white that he has dyed throughout the process of filming the Dateline.
Correct.
Because it is gray in his interview, and then in the B-roll, it is dark on the sides and bleach blonde on top.
No, that's a separate twin.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's where I got confused.
Same twin. Gray hair, floppy in the front in his interview, and then in the B-roll, it's dark on the sides and it's white dyed shock Flock of Seagulls.
Wait, but dyed gray in the front?
No, I thought just regular gray.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter, the Dateline producer said that he did dye it because someone asked, did he just dye his hair? And they said, yeah, he dyed it.
I wonder if he got in trouble.
Maybe. You're not supposed to change your hair color that much when you're shooting. It ruins the continuity.
Yep. So, and then you have stupid people like me who think you're the other twit. I kept getting confused. I just sort of rolled them into, I'm sorry, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I was like, okay, I can't, I'm having a hard time keeping track.
So. Yeah, they look very similar. They have the same long, lean face. Like,
they're twins.
Very skinny face.
What do you mean they look similar? They're twins.
I mean, I could tell them apart because of the hair, probably mostly.
Yeah, they're identical twins.
Yeah. So
that's your best quote of the episode.
They look alike.
They look very similar. The twins? That's weird.
It's a hot take there from Kimberly. As I always say, twins look alike. Thank you, Peggy Hill.
Thanks, Peggy.
So this Flock of Seagulls twin also used to be in law enforcement. I think everyone in this town.
No, he's the one. There's one twin that used to be in law enforcement.
The other one also used to be in law enforcement.
No.
Yes. 1,000% yes.
No, I need a ruling on this. I have to go back because I'm not sure. I don't think that's right.
I 100% think that's right because I watched it several times. He is doing his B-roll with a huge American flag up in his office. And the really stylish one, the one that looks like he should be on Queer Eye, he is like flipping through like his note stuff. And he also used to be in law enforcement.
Well, no, we need to talk to Josh. Because why are they both not in law enforcement? I need backgrounding. I need information.
No, it's true. So he starts looking at the case. The other straight-laced twin, the one that's not Flock of Seagulls, he bonded Tyler out of jail. He and his wife took out a loan and got Tyler out of jail. He's been in jail for a year.
That's so sad. It's a huge bail, by the
way. Oh, my God. We still have that loan out.
Yeah. It was $1 million. And then it finally got lowered to $300,000, but $300,000.
Unbelievable. The twins find out, this is big, Michael the dad had been on heavy, heavy narcotics.
Oh, my God.
When he died.
This is the toxicology report.
Yes. The cocktail of oxycodone, hydrocodone, a third one.
Tramadol.
It was like an elephant tranquilizer cocktail that he was on.
That's a pain pill addict.
Yeah. And the whole family apparently knew about his drug problem, but they didn't talk about it.
Probably why they separated, right?
I think that was a big part of it. I think, well, that's probably where his mood swings came from and why he was lashing out at April. Now, he had a reputation in the town as the former mayor and the former police or fire chief and a paramedic. Mm-hmm. Now, our insider, the Benton Bunch on Instagram, gave us some background because she's from that town. He actually had to resign due to his drug issues.
He did.
Okay. Yes. And stealing evidence.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So he had big problems. Now, it's not just that he had big problems with drugs. A lot of people in America are dealing with the opioid crisis right now. But she said he was not a good guy. Like, he had really, huge issues and was not a good guy. Now, then if you just go back to how Michael's whole thing was, he didn't want his son's partying to affect his reputation.
Yeah.
I learned it from watching you, Dad. I learned it from watching you. This is your brain. This is your dad's brain on drugs.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a fall from grace. You're the mayor and you have to resign. Stealing evidence and your drug problem. And now your son is embarrassing you because he's throwing a house party with pot. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, it really makes you look at Michael in a different light, I think.
Yeah, also, why was he allowed to live with his dad?
That's a good point, too. I mean, he maybe chose him because he thought his dad was more lenient, but it doesn't seem like his dad was more lenient. His dad
seems really unstable.
But it does make more... Is that what you were saying about why the house looked like the way it did?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just that Tyler had a party there the night before. The dad was also kind of living in disarray.
Right.
Because he was dealing with his huge drug addiction. So the straight-laced twin thinks that Michael was using the problems with Tyler to lure April back in. Like, if we get back together, maybe Tyler wouldn't be in so much trouble, you know? You know what's a better way to rekindle a romance than getting your son arrested? making someone a home-cooked meal from HelloFresh.
I was going to say go to rehab, but yes, I think...
Both are good options.
You're absolutely right. So, our latest sponsor is HelloFresh, and...
Yay!
They are a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients, so all you have to do is cook, eat, and enjoy.
Yes.
There's none of this time-consuming... going to the supermarket, trying to figure out if you have all the ingredients to make that one casserole that probably isn't going to be very good. HelloFresh takes all of the guesswork out of doing
this. You said that with personal bitterness. Has that happened to you?
Yeah, it's happened to me multiple times where it's like all I needed was cream cheese and I didn't have it.
Yeah.
So it's happened a lot. It's super simple.
I need simple because twice in the past 2 days, I've made myself instant noodle soup and have cooked it with one of the flavoring pouches still in it.
You might need to see a doctor.
I think I need to see a doctor.
But I think that HelloFresh is definitely going to be the answer for you.
Yeah.
So you can make all of these meals. Their recipes are built in a way that they come together in 30 minutes max.
Yeah, I need
so
that.
So they also take less than 2 pots and pans,
mm-hmm.
and there's very little cleanup. So I am not the cook that I would like to be, but Oliver is very good in the kitchen. And honestly, he was really excited
yeah.
about HelloFresh
yeah.
because with this meal plan, you get enough to really easily feed the whatever number you're signing up for with amounts left over.
Yeah. They yeah, also have a lunch to dinner plan where you make a lunch meal and then you have mm-hmm. leftovers that you incorporate into your dinner, which I thought mm-hmm. was really cool. There's no waste going on.
No. And for us and our house, he really likes it. He likes the idea of a meal delivery service. And when he tried this one, we're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Because it's just sort of has everything. The menu, the recipes also were excellent for our taste buds.
Mm-hmm. My favorite was the mushroom ravioli. It was incredible. It had cherry tomatoes
really?
On it. Oh, it was so good.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
It was
we didn't get
delicious.
That one. Delicious.
Well, I got the veggie plant.
Oh, that's right. Well, we got, and for meat lovers out there, we got an amazing teriyaki burger that was really, really good. And it came with these artisan buns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then you could it had like this squash relish that you could make to go on it. It was really good. It was like stuff that I would never do. It was
yeah.
super fancy, like you'd order at a restaurant.
Yeah, but easy fancy.
Easy fancy. That's a great way for it.
So, HelloFresh, you can steal that phrase, easy fancy.
Right now, you can get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh if you go to HelloFresh.com/date-dateline-80 and then at checkout, enter date-dateline-80. That's $80 off.
That's crazy.
For your first month. Yeah, it's really good. So remember, for $80 off your first month, visit HelloFresh.com/date-dateline-80 and enter date-dateline-80 at checkout. That's basically like receiving 8 meals for free for your first month.
You're welcome.
Thanks, HelloFresh.
We love you, HelloFresh. So Michael's trying to win April back by getting their son arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to me, April. Let's co-parent together. April says no. And the brother, the twin brother, thinks that's probably when Michael snapped. Now, mm-hmm. there's actually a lot of proof to back up this theory. The proof is in Michael's diary. So in the diary / journal, whatever, Michael seems to have been contemplating suicide before. He wrote a letter to April saying, mm-hmm. I can't go on knowing that you're with someone else. It's either me or the both of us. Goodbye. He yeah. wrote a suicide letter earlier. And so that's pretty damning evidence. That was my yeah. OMG moment right there. So Madison is going to church and he's really nervous about trial. He's out on bond. He is going to church and he meets Greg Biggs in a prayer group. Mr. Biggs. And,
Mr. Biggs.
Yeah.
Mr. Biggs is great. Wait a minute. What was how they meet their prayer partners?
So the pastor says, you guys are going to pair up into groups, and he draws names out of a hat or probably out of a yarmulke, whatever Christians use.
No, he draws it out. There's no yarmulke. There's no Christian hat. What's that?
The donation bucket thing?
That's, yes, the tithing
bin. Yes, the tithing thing.
Go.
They put all their names in, and then they randomly pick people out. And Tyler Madison is paired with Greg Biggs, who happens to be a former state's attorney and former FBI agent.
Perfect.
Which, I mean, sometimes you do have to believe in fate. What are the odds?
Or faith.
There you go. So Mr. Big wants to help him. He says, Madison talking about homecoming didn't mean anything. He was just a teenager whose parents have just been killed. Teenagers do dumb things and say dumb things all the time, which I've always said their brains are literally not fully formed. Mm-hmm. As an example.
Correct.
Let's have it. Of how teenagers do questionable, dumb things.
Yeah.
Mr. Biggs.
Yep.
When he was a teenager, kissed a dead dog on the road as a dare. Couple things with that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that's absolutely the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And that's clearly why Mr. Biggs goes to church, because only Jesus could help you get that image out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
He needs Jesus. Number two, he does this long pause immediately after he tells the story.
No, it's cut.
And
like
I think he's internally screaming to himself,
Why did you say that,
Biggs?
No, I think absolutely.
You and could have thought of any other anecdote to tell. Stupid, mm-hmm. stupid. Nancy told me not to embarrass myself, and I had to tell the dead dog story. I'm never going to hear the end of this.
Yeah.
Can I ask Minx to take it out? They're not going to take it out, are they? They're going to use that.
And I would have liked a shot of Josh's face.
That's my third point, is they cut to Mank. We don't see it as he's telling him, but we cut immediately to Mank. Mank is such a consummate professional. Zero mm-hmm. reaction. No reaction.
No.
I want to know what he was thinking. We will ask him. He just continues on, like, as if that was the most normal story that you could tell.
I think he has to, because I think he also doesn't want Mr. Biggs to immediately say, can you not hear that?
So he's like, cover it up.
So Josh has to barrel through.
So we can just keep it
going.
In.
Yeah. Keep going, because that is an atrocious story.
Now, Mank himself told an anecdote about how young children can do dumb things when he mm-hmm. told his Mankey Poppins himself mm-hmm. off of the roof with an umbrella. That's right. An enjoyable kids being dumb story. But Mr. Biggs took it to a way too far of a level.
No, there's a line and Mr. Biggs is like in the next county over.
Yes, it's
he crossed the county line into, yeah.
It's like if you said, teenagers do the dumbest things, Kimberly. I once stole a lipstick. And I'll be like, I know. I once killed my brother and wore his face as a mask. Aren't teenagers crazy? Too far.
I was so rambunctious.
I know. I was such a scamp.
Wow.
I was a scamp. Now,
oh wow!
I do want to mention our insider, the Benton Bunch, did want to assure me that not everyone in Alabama kisses dead dogs. As if we were thinking that represents the whole state.
No, I think this guy had that unfortunate story and just should have picked a different example. He picked the wrong story. And I've done it. Just you pick the wrong thing.
And you see it in his face.
Yeah.
Why
am I saying, why are these words coming out? and you can't stop it.
Nope. Oh, it's terrible. No. Now, he says the evidence points to a fight. This is good mm-hmm. evidence. April has Michael's DNA under her fingernails. Mm-hmm. And Michael has scratches on his face. So they were in some sort of physical altercation.
Yeah.
There is no DNA or blood on Madison. Although I did read later that there were a few drops of blood on Madison's shirt, but that was not verified. So I'm not totally sure about that.
So they never tested it to see who's...
They don't test the DNA or blood, or they do test the DNA on him, and they said there was none. In fact, Dateline says there was no blood on him. But
did
read one thing
hands?
That said...
Okay.
That's interesting. So Mank says that they did test Michael's hands for gunshot residue. No, I'm sorry. Scratch that. They did not test Michael's hands, which would have proven the whole thing. If they think Michael shot April and then shot himself,
why would they do that?
They did not test his hands. And Mank says there is some disparity over whether or not they tested Madison, which is very interesting that there's people have different opinions on whether they tested him or not.
How did they even charge him?
Exactly.
How did he even get charged?
Yeah. I don't know. And also, how is there a disparity, either you tested them or not?
Was he just being a punk?
I think he was being a punk, and I think
this
sheriff...
really bad in that interview, and they were just like,
No, I have another theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have another theory, too.
Okay.
But, all right.
So, they think that in the 11 minutes that in, it was 11 minutes, he shot both of his parents. He somehow maybe changed his clothes and then burned the clothes in the woods or something that had blood on them.
And no, then not only that.
He ran to his neighbor's house. There's no full fingerprint on the gun. April's DNA is on the trigger, or a partial print of
her print.
A partial
is on the
print
trigger.
Of April mm-hmm. is on the trigger, which makes me think they were wrestling for the gun, April and Michael.
I have a theory
okay.
on this.
But Mr. Biggs, aka Kisses with Dead Dogs, finds
no, stop that. We shall not never discuss this again.
We have to. It's so horrible. He stuck his foot so far up his mouth, it came out of his butt. And when he goes home, his wife, Nance, is going to give him such a hard time about it.
Yeah, she
you
is.
You didn't tell the dead dog story, did you, Biggs? Biggs, stupid. Why did you do that? I told you not to embarrass
Biggs,
us.
It's out there for America now. It's out
Everyone
there for the world.
Everyone knows the world. This show is seen worldwide. They subtitle it. They're going to put that in the subtitles, and people in China are going to be like, oh my God, he kissed a dead dog on the mouth.
And no one is ever going to know you for it. And I'm sure you did amazing work in the FBI and as a state's attorney, but you know what? That's going to be on your gravestone, Biggs.
It's done, Biggs. I'm so sorry. And you know what? Dateline producer did tweet that he has actually gotten wrongfully convicted people released from jail in his career. And I think they were saying that as a way to be like, please don't just remember him as the kiss in the dog. I'm sorry. It's done. It's never going to be scrubbed out of our brains. So sorry, Biggs. I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry.
But you shouldn't have said it. So Mr. Biggs is sitting in front of Mink with an unloaded gun, which I thought was really weird because usually they do those sort of demonstrations in a lab. Mm-hmm. And it's like during the interview. And it makes
There's
me,
no lab. You, There's no lab in Eclectic.
I don't know. So I don't like guns and I don't want them near Mankey. It makes me uncomfortable, even if it's unloaded. So
You're
he
protective.
Demonstrates the way you'd shoot yourself from behind. So here's the biggest thing, though. This is my second OMG moment. Mm-hmm. Madison was still handcuffed behind his back when the police came and he was at the neighbor's house.
Right.
He's still handcuffed. What do you think? He's Houdini? Like, maybe he and Sandra Melgar were practicing tying themselves up and locking her in the closet. And then he says, well, our cops were able to do it, which gave me the funniest visual of the cops trying to, like, roll around on the ground doing Joe Bluth, his illusions, Michael.
That's not my trick, Michael. It's my illusion.
Their illusions.
I will say we had my mom try it last night and she did it in about 2 seconds. Now my mom
undo handcuffs?
No, take them from behind her back and then pull her arms underneath her and underneath her feet and to the front.
Oh yeah, you can do that.
2 seconds it took her. She weighs about 80 pounds though. So
he weighed 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
He's
a scrawny kid.
Yeah.
But I think no, he definitely could do it.
But wouldn't that be a pre-planned type of thing, like, that you would think to do that?
Oh, no, the whole thing is so weird. He didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's plausible.
And then they said that he unlocked it.
Yeah.
Then they said that the key was on the floor. He says that he unlocked himself and then killed his parents and then reattached
his handcuffs behind him. Handcuffed himself behind. Yeah.
Behind.
Ran to the
neighbor. And runs to the neighbor.
Huh.
Okay, this is just the most far-fetched dribbledry.
Yeah, and this is where Mank is not having it. I think he's still angry about being called Josh earlier because he says, wait, this is what you think happened. And the sheriff is like, yes, that is what I think happened. The sheriff says he sleeps great at night, knowing he is the right killer. Well,
offers
good for
that
you,
up,
a-hole.
By the way.
What?
Yeah, offers that up.
Yeah,
just completely offers that up straight away. I sleep great, by the way. Yeah.
Good for you, a-hole. Night-night. No. The sheriff says that his deputy said that Michael seemed fine when he was there 11 minutes before. So here's the thing. Michael was on heavy, heavy narcotics, had called the cops on his son, has put his teenage son in handcuffs, but everything seems good here. I'm gonna leave. The sheriff's son is the deputy that did this. Now, that's right. Can we just get the sheriff to admit that this is a huge part of it? You don't want your son, the deputy, to look like an idiot because he left the family in this toxic, dangerous situation where two people were dead 11 minutes after he left. So it's easier for him to say that it was Madison, David Blaining himself out of handcuffs and killing his parents.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
It's his son. He's totally protecting son because his son could be charged with like leaving them in this dangerous situation. Of course, he's not going to be because it's a big boys club. But you know what I'm saying? How bad that would look for the sheriff who left 11 minutes before.
But I guess it's also just sort of like he's probably sees some crazy stuff. I'm sure some crazy stuff goes down in that town, especially right. if there's drugs uh-huh. or whatever. So I'm sure that he didn't, in all honesty, think that a murder was going to happen moments after he left.
Right.
So
that's nice of you.
He shouldn't have been blamed.
Right.
But I see that you're right. He probably is doing everything he can to make sure that he's not blamed.
Yes, that's why he said Michael seemed fine. He didn't seem to be on drugs. It was totally fine. Was it? Because he was on a cocktail of drugs that could make somebody pass out.
No, he's straight up on. Yeah, he was on Oxy. Yeah.
And his son is handcuffed there. But no, it was fine. So I think that the sheriff is covering for his son. And here's the second thing about the sheriff's whole thing that really bothers me. If we can go back to the horrifying moment where he called Mank Josh, he says, if it walks like a duck, all of that, then it's a duck. That is the simplest solution, that Madison is the killer. Except that's the opposite of what's happening. The simplest solution is that Michael shot and killed himself after he shot April. He left a diary saying he was going to do that. So you're saying now that if it looks like a duck is getting yourself out of handcuffs, shooting your parents, re-handcuffing yourself, having no blood on you, running to the neighbor. But that's the simplest solution. Okay.
Right. Perfect.
That makes
sense. So if it walks, talks, smells, and sounds
like the most insane plan ever,
it's actually a donkey.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really stupid.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I hate the sheriff so much. I start to feel flames on the side of my face when I think about him. Now, the trial is about to start. Madison's been out on jail. He has a new girlfriend, and he says, "Don't wait for me." It's very romantic. "Don't wait for me, my love."
I don't know why we get that. Like, they let us know that he's dating.
And
that we don't meet her.
No.
And I kind of thought that it might be the brunette Snapchat girl.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Oh, maybe that's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
It's somebody we don't see. But he tells her, "Heads up, I might be getting two life sentences.
If you don't want to wait for me, that's fine. Peace out." Backwards peace sign. Gangsta.
Backwards peace sign.
Alabama for life. Like, what if he makes an A? With
Bama for life.
Yeah.
Bama.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
For. No.
She's doing it.
No.
She's.
I'm trying to do an A for L.
Yeah. So then there's a stunning announcement from the district attorney, who reminded me a little of Toby from the West Wing, but whatever.
Oh.
He says, he holds a press conference. This is before the trial has even started. He says, "They don't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt to try Madison. And they are dismissing all of the charges." I have almost never heard of this. It's insane. I was like, way to go, Alabama. You may have the worst sheriff in the world, and a ton of ex-cops for some reason.
Yeah.
But good job. Because if you think he did it, I don't think there's enough to convict him.
There's not even close.
No.
They didn't do the investigation right.
No, they didn't.
Didn't get any of the info they needed to get to be able to do it.
And here's one of the reasons they decided not to go to trial is the pathologist who had originally put homicide as the cause of death is now not 100% sure that it was homicide and doesn't feel like he could go on the stand and swear that it was homicide, which WT freaking F, isn't that what the undetermined box is for? Cause of death. Undetermined. If you're not 100% sure, undetermined.
So do you think he was pressured by the sheriff to put it as a homicide?
I think that's possible. I wouldn't put it past the sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's possible, actually. They think it was more likely than not a homicide, but that's not good enough. They really don't know. And then we meet Tony, who Meg kind of introduces Tony as if we've met him before. Did we meet him earlier? I have no recollection of meeting him earlier.
We do not meet him. Okay. So maybe he was in before and then he got cut?
Yeah, because they're like, Tony has thoughts about it. And I was like, who the F is Tony? Where did
Tony
you come
from?
Tony
comes out of nowhere.
Why are you
Where'd
here?
You come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Tony. I don't know who he is.
Like,
but he's apparently a bandmate.
He's apparently a bandmate of Michael.
But like, I think they must have put this in to try to make Michael seem a
humanized.
Little better because he's not shown in the best light and he died. And so,
So Tony's saying he wants to remember Michael like playing the guitar and having fun, not like handcuffing his son and resigning in shame because of his drugs and stealing evidence. But who are you, Tony? Like, why are you here? Much like Tony, who married McKelty on Sister Wives, we don't need you here right now. I'm sure you're fine, but no thank you. Now, everyone in April and Michael's lives never thought that Madison did it. Like, they are glad. Even April's best friend says that April can rest now knowing her son is not in jail because he didn't do it. But Sheriff, he says that it's still an open case. And that they could refile charges again at any time. But not really. Because
not really.
If he does, he'll have his butt handed to him again publicly by the DA's office. And his tiny little Becky's protege cannot handle the humiliation. So he's talking a big game, like he could refile at any time. No, he'll just get it handed to him again. And then he's not going to do that. Is that the hill you want to die on, Sheriff? Like, it will not work out for you.
Yeah,
he might be waiting out the DA. And if there's a new DA, he might try to get that DA's on his side. And
then he
could refile. So, but this is why Madison says he's not really allowed to talk about the specifics on Dateline, because he is still technically like not out of the woods. He's not cleared in this case. He kind of has to live his life now as if he could be retried at any moment. He got his high school diploma while he was out on bond, which I thought was cool. He wants to go to college and then law school to be a criminal defense attorney. Now, I'm totally on board. And I was like, good for him. Good for him. And then he does that thing where he talks too much and over explains. He says, I want to be a lawyer. I want to fight for teenagers who are in this situation. It's not about the money for me. I mean, lawyers make good money, but it's not about the money for me. No one asked you about the money. You D-bag?
You are mad about something that you and I do all the time, which is over-explain, over-analyze things. He's just talking too much. It's all right.
He's talking way too much. And that is what is in his head. No one else would think about saying that unless that was in your mind about the money. Why else would you say that? No one asked
Well, because I think he's trying to be like, I'm not an idiot. I know that lawyers make a lot of money, but I'm not actually going for it for that. I'm going for it because... And also, defense lawyers, I don't think do. Public defenders don't make that much money.
No, that's true.
You are in for a big surprise, Tyler Madison, if you think you're going to make a lot of money. I think that's not a very high-paying job, but I'm not sure.
April is buried right next to Michael, which was so creepy to me. The only thing I can think of is that they already had bought family plots and the family can't afford to move her and get her a new plot.
It's expensive.
Because it's so expensive. Yeah. But I would say this is when you get a Kickstarter campaign. Like, people online would donate to make a woman not have to be buried next to the man who maybe killed her. Like, I would totally donate to that.
But I think this all happened when they thought that Madison did it. But the family
but the
didn't
family
ever
never,
really think
you're
that
right.
Madison did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're totally right. So
this is not romantic. This is not Romeo and Juliet sitting next to each other.
Icky.
This is murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Madison visits his mom's grave, and then he gives his dad's grave the cold shoulder. They're literally right next to each other.
Yeah.
I love this. He doesn't care if there's a ghost coming out of the ground. He's like... Mm-mm. Bye. Sorry, Nearly Headless Nick. I can't talk to you now. Maybe next time. And then, hi, Mom. How are you? Let me sit down and chat with you. Like,
I think it's great.
It's
I think
awesome.
It must suck for him, though, to have to go when he goes to visit his mom. His dad's right there.
You're right. That's and any family terrible. Member who goes to visit April has to look at that other grave thinking this person killed that person. That is terrible. Like, yeah. You should never... The murder... Oh, my God. It's so terrible. Maybe we could pace to exhume her and move her somewhere else. Like...
Yeah.
So there's a couple things. There's one thing that is mentioned in an article that made me go, huh, I don't understand. Hmm. Madison apparently, according to some sources, smoked a cigarette at the neighbor's house when they were waiting for police to come.
Oh.
I don't understand.
How did he get out of the handcuffs?
This is my question. The neighbor said in this one article that they ran to go check on the parents and left Madison to smoke a cigarette. Now, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it makes me question a lot of things. Because he was still in handcuffs with the hands behind his back when the police came.
The hands were behind him when the police came?
Yes.
Did they say that or did they just say he was still in handcuffs?
No, they said, well, he had said my hands were like this and he demonstrates how his hands were behind his back.
During what point, though? Because maybe he had flipped his hands at this point.
I don't know when he would have. I guess you're right. He could have sat down at the neighbor's house and then pulled his hands underneath. But our whole point is that he didn't think to do that. And he even says, I couldn't have done that. I had never been in handcuffs before. So I would never think to, like, flip them to the front underneath my legs. He says that to Mink. So he's saying he didn't do it.
So how did he have a cigarette?
Yeah, I don't understand. Unless there was another neighbor literally feeding it to him. Or maybe like, Arrested Development and Lucille Bluth just blows the smoke into Buster's mouth. And then he runs to outside and blows it out.
I wonder.
Yeah.
That's
so
weird.
It's really weird. I don't know if if anyone has more information on if like that's a reliable.
Did the neighbors
thing.
Hear the shots?
That's
in
a good
the article,
question, too.
Did they say anything?
They don't say that. It's a good question. I don't know. B-roll bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
So the flag of America and Alaska are shown. I mean, Alabama. Where are we? Alabama.
Alabama. Definitely not Alaska.
Yeah. The flag of America and Alaska are shown right as they're dismissing the charges, which kind of made me think that Mank was on that side, like was on Madison's side, because it sort of felt like a like let freedom ring, like the justice won.
Yeah.
You know, did you feel like that?
You don't. Well, I think that he was totally on his side.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. But I felt like that editing choice was very.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I agree.
A little nod. Madison, there's two B-rolls with Tyler Madison. One is when he's out free on bail, he is riding in the back of a pickup truck.
Yes, he is.
I thought that was illegal.
It is.
Maybe not in Alabama.
It is.
They do this really weird close-up of his hand on the side of the truck, and it's vibrating from the truck. I don't really know what that was about. And then there's this shot above him. Like, looking down on him. And
how'd they get that?
That's my question. It was not a drone shot. I think there was a cameraman somehow tethered and standing up while the truck is moving, shooting down on Tyler. And I just think, was it worth it for that shot? Did you think that was your Emmy shot? Like,
is there, like, a Steadicam? Like, the guy with the, you know?
Maybe. But the thing is, all it takes is one pothole. And either that camera that's worth thousands of dollars or that cameraman who has a wife and kids at home are going flying out of that truck.
Right.
Is it worth it? I don't know.
No.
Then we see Madison sitting on a porch railing and not holding on to the railing at all. And I'm scared of heights. It made me really nervous. I kept thinking, like, why is he such a daredevil? I need his frontal lobe to develop ASAP.
Mm.
He's a reckless one.
I did not notice that. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
He's also been in prison, so he's
like
whatever.
I can ride in the back of this truck. It's not going to get me.
Yeah. He didn't seem like that, though. He didn't have that attitude when he came out of prison.
No.
He's definitely different.
Yeah, he has changed, I think.
Yeah, he's grown up. He looks different.
Yeah. Some people online still thought he was a D-bag. The money comment with the lawyers really pissed people off, I have to say.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
They did not like that. What else do you want to do?
So Josh in a voiceover, and normally I love Josh, but I was a little not happy that he says, normally when men commit suicide, they use their dominant hand. So just men?
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought thing is that
women use the opposite.
Women are known
women
for
use
using
their non.
Women stick the gun between their boobs and then they squeeze their boobs like together what? And it sets off
I
the
don't,
trigger.
Why didn't he just say normally
people.
When a person commits suicide? Yeah. Right.
I thought
why
that was really funny. I laughed at that.
Just men.
Yeah. No, just men. They
just
use,
men
their
use their dominant hand. So did you have a different, I want to skip ahead. Do you have a different alternative theory of what happened here?
No. I think it's one of two things. I think it's Michael or I think it's Madison. And I don't think
what
they proved either one, but I think it was Michael.
Why would make you think that it could be Madison? The cigarette?
The cigarette.
That he maybe wasn't handcuffed?
The cigarette thing and the, I think I forgot to mention the reason the defense or the reason the sheriff thinks it's possible he didn't have blood on him is because he thinks with that sort of a weapon that it wouldn't bleed that fast. So you wouldn't get blood on you. It wouldn't be like a high spatter. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Who said that? It was a different detective. Yeah.
And I was like, huh, I don't know about that,
but we're not really shown the crime scene. So I don't know how much.
Right. So
blood.
I don't know. But then I read that he had a few drops of blood on him, which
so
is
how,
confusing
how would he
to
have,
me.
How would he have even gotten the gun with his hands handcuffed behind his back? Like, this whole thing is hard because of the handcuffs, right?
Well, they think he uncandcuffed himself first and then got the gun and then shot his parents, who were clearly fighting because she has scratches. He has scratches and she has DNA under her fingernails. So he interrupted his parents and decided to shoot them both because they were going to send him to juvie. I think more likely if it's possible that he was involved, he was got in the scuffle with the three of them and the gun went off. And now he's lying for some reason that it was his dad and he just heard it.
Did you get the sense at all that he was lying in his police interview?
No, I believed him. It seemed like he was trustworthy.
Yeah, me too.
He was being a D-bag in his video confession or his video thing about the girls he's sleeping with. But he's a dumb teenager who is doing false bravado, I think, and trying to sound cool while he's in prison. But I kind of believed him in the interrogation. And the fact that he kept saying, a polygraph, I want to take a polygraph. But again, if he's a crazy sociopath, he'd had already figured out how to beat the polygraph and this whole thing was pre-planned. I don't know. He doesn't seem that bright to me. So,
but I think we would have also gotten more stories about him being leaning more towards that tendency instead of just being a dumb teenager like he would have, you know.
Yeah.
So do you think there's any chance that she did it?
Yes.
Because it's her DNA on the trigger.
Now, somebody online said, what if, this was interesting, what if Michael shot her and she's survived because she's shot through the hand?
Mm-hmm.
And he shot her maybe twice, once in the head, but she was still alive when they came. So she, I've seen people on datelines with crazy head injuries and they get up and walk around and then they collapse. She grabbed for the gun and then shot him back in self-defense. And that's why her fingerprint is on the gun. So
that's what I thought too.
What if that happened? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I still don't think she started it. I think everything in their history says that he started it.
Oh, he started it. She didn't come after him with the gun. But I am also wondering, did she get the gun to protect herself? Was she the one that pulled out the gun?
Right.
Did she come with the gun?
Right.
Or was the gun his?
We don't really know. I'm assuming the gun was his, Michael's.
Okay.
But I don't think they specifically said that.
Hmm. I think maybe also Michael shot her on accident.
When they were fighting?
I think maybe he was threatening her with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then shot her.
But if you go to if you hear footsteps, if you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. He had said in his diary.
Yeah, you're right.
It's either me or both of us.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
It kind of.
So yeah. So maybe this was just, and he was on that crazy like pain pill cocktail.
Uh-huh.
And he was just, this is it.
Yeah, I do. I really think that's the most likely scenario and not.
No, I think the only other possibility, because it was her fingerprint on the trigger last, or maybe, because her fingerprint was on the trigger. So she at some point she touched it. She touched that gun and had her finger on the trigger. The only other thing is that, he shot her and then put the gun down or did something. She got a hold of the gun and shot him.
Right. Which, good for her. He had just shot her twice.
Probably to protect Madison.
Right.
So that he wouldn't.
Yeah. This could have turned into a family murder-suicide.
Yeah, it really could have. I'm really glad that Madison ran out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been everyone in the house.
Yeah.
Could have been dead.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, it's so sad.
It is really sad. Oh my. But also,
with the two other little boys, who I'm now wondering if they're twins.
That would be amazing. However, on Twitter, Mank said that they don't speak to Madison, which is...
No, they do. I read an article that said that he had been corresponding with them when he was in prison. They'd been corresponding through social media.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Maybe there are factions of his family that think he did it.
That's what I'm wondering. If whoever's raising those two kids now thinks that Madison did it.
And that's why they're corresponding through social media, because that's not checked as, like, they can do that with some anonymity.
We're just guessing. We have no idea, but I don't know. But it did seem like all of April's family felt like he didn't do it. So I don't know.
Hold on. Can I give you a fashion police that's going to rock your world?
Yes.
It is actually a picture of Tyler in his mugshot. Tell me if you can see what his shirt say.
Aeropostale.
Correct. Did I make your day?
Yeah. I would think it would be like Quicksilver.
No, it's Aeropostale. That's the same as Quicksilver.
Oh, is it? I thought it was fancier.
What do you think it is?
You don't know what it is. It sounds fancier.
Okay. So,
doesn't it sound fancier?
Josh had a fancy shirt in this episode. He had a band collar, which is not normal for him. He normally has a normal collar, but he had a band collar shirt that it was white, and then he had a patterned blue.
Mm.
Did you see that shirt?
No, because I was so distracted because someone said, I hope he's wearing his hanky. What kind of hanky is he going to wear? And Dateline producer said, the Susan Nall, the producer, might have something to say about that. She might have to do some explaining. And I was like, I'm scared. What do you mean? And then I start watching the episode and they keep doing shots of him like chest, not even like almost shoulder up. And it was like, where's that? You can't see the hanky. And then there's one B-roll shot where you see him sitting at a table and you see a hanky. And I was like, thank God.
Did they do it on purpose?
I don't know, because Dateline was very teasing on Twitter, like, someone has some explaining to do, because he was not showing his hanky. And you know Tammy was freaking out over her bingo.
Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Okay. Corrigan Vaughn talking about the dead dog story. Dude thought that story was going to be way more relatable than it actually was.
Yeah, really.
Amanda, Madison seems like the type of kid who wears all day, every day, and always going deep t-shirts.
Yep, there we go.
We just solved it. Melanie, this is my favorite. Ugh, I'm in somewhere, St. Louis for Easter, and my mom and I just sat down to watch Dateline, and only 11 minutes of it taped. What do I do? And Dateline said, okay, that's spooky since the episode was called 11 Minutes. Melanie writes, upon further investigation and realizing that having several glasses of wine has not improved our intelligence, the entire episode was in fact recorded, and the title of said episode made us think that only 11 minutes had been recorded. Hashtag don't drink before watching. And Dateline wrote back, no words. And I wrote back, oh, I'm definitely reading that on the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
I love it so much.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
And you just be like, no. What?
11 minutes only. Keisler Sose, my theory, the uncles are really the same person, just wearing different wigs.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm into that because I couldn't. And I don't think they were both cops.
We got to find that out.
Why is everyone leaving the police? The sheriff.
Because the sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah. We need an investigation into this town.
Yes. Dateline wrote, have you ever gotten a letter from someone apologizing for a past wrong? Tammy wrote, yes, just so happens they were in jail also. Funny how being alone with your thoughts lets you see clearly the douchebag deep hidden inside of yourself.
There you go.
RJ wrote, damn, does everyone in that town have a skinny, slim face?
Yeah, there are a lot of slim faces going on.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Moms and Murder, our beloved friends.
Hi.
Alex Trebek. The quote is, I kissed a dead dog on the road when I was 17. Me. What is things you hid for over 50 years and just slipped up and shared on Dateline, Alex?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, seriously. What's her sign B? Another mystery. How did Madison's dad land his mom? She was a hottie and he looked like if you drew a smiley face on a balloon. Did you almost spit out your drink?
I did. That's surprisingly accurate. That's really, really well done.
It's the same person. What's your sign, B? I definitely got a virgin vibe from Madison. So on top of suspecting him of killing his parents, now I also suspect he's lying about sleeping with anyone.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too.
Citizen Janny, Madison's twin uncles are the southern version of the Property Brothers. Middle is Martha. The twist Maybe. Is that Michael never died. He is the FBI prayer partner guy with the grown-out white hair and beard. That would be a good twist. Michelle Bond, why is the sheriff's badge so tiny? It was so yeah. little. Corey K, you know damn well nobody dared you to kiss a dead dog. You wanted to do that.
No, he got dared. No, one's, he didn't want to do that.
Snarky said, did he just say he kissed a dead dog in the road? How unattractive are the women in this town?
Oh, boy.
Christy
oh boy.
Taylor, is Uncle Matt a skunk? Yep. Bumblebee, the uncle looks like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Pink Spider, this guy knows what a duck smells and feels like.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Okay, this is my very favorite. I'm ending with this. So Dateline tweeted, do you agree with the decision to dismiss the charges? Yes, no, not sure. Red Star Woman wrote, what charges?
No, she didn't.
Linda, why are you responding if you don't know what's going on here? What are you guys talking about? What Dateline NBC? What's that? Oh, it's a show about charges and murder? What is that? What charges? You didn't watch the episode, so why
like
are you
on a
responding?
Yes. Like I dispute the charges?
My TJ Maxx like card?
I'd like to dispute these $30.
What charges did they dismiss? Why? What charges? And someone wrote back. He was charged with two murders. The day the trial was to start, they said all the charges were dropped. Why? Don't respond to Linda's.
Don't let her. No, don't.
Don't encourage that sort of behavior.
You gotta cut it off.
Don't encourage that sort of behavior. Click on it. NBC. You click on them, see what they are. They're a show about murder. It's about murder charges. Maybe watch the episode and then come back and tweet.
No.
Linda, what charges? I can't.
Where's our song for Linda? That's Linda. And if you guys don't understand who Linda is or what a Linda is, please listen to Devil's Bathtub.
Yeah.
We should just put a time code in.
Yeah, for Devil's Bathtub.
When Linda made her first appearance of many.
One of our listeners has created an Instagram account for Linda.
Yes.
And she is capturing real life Lindas online and also doing fake Lindas, which are very fun. It's called Linda-ing.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Was Linda-ing taken?
I do not know.
I want to know.
Maybe it's because Linda is her first name and Linda's her last name. And then she's Linda-ing.
No, she's Linda Ing. Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay, we got it.
A couple more things really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tweeted us a picture. Clifton says it's a picture of a license plate that has a picture of Dolly Parton on it. And the license plate is J-O-L-3-N, Jolene. And
who is it? Whose is it?
I don't know. But it says, I'm begging of you, please don't take my van.
Oh, that's very impressive.
Thank you,
that
Clifton.
Could be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clifton.
Yeah. It's
that made my year.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's really good. Leah said, I would like to take a minute to thank Dateline for saying convulsing, which reminded me that I left my epilepsy meds at home and turned around back to get them. We're saving lives.
You're welcome.
We are saving lives. Our dear friend Fizz, Elizabeth Rose, she said that I believe some people mistakenly use the term Patronus, but the correct term is Patropods. I just made that up. And Sky Rules jumped in and said, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a whiny brat, but I'm the one who came up with Patronus. And I keep writing to Liz going, why are you stuck on this Patronus? Are they like pods? Patropods, like pod people? Are they like robots?
And for you're patroning the podcast.
Patropods, maybe. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. But now she keeps doing, anytime I mention her Patronus, she just writes hashtag Patropods. She's trolling me.
Stick to it. Stick to it, girl.
She's like going to make, it's like, stop trying to make fetch happen.
No, they're going to make, she's going to make fetch happen. It's
yeah.
Patropods or bust. Yeah. Give me Petra pods or give me death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Tran said, until your last episode, I thought that the Countess was saying, ignorance is learned, my friend. And I always thought that was so weird because learning makes you less ignorant. Well, who's the ignorant one now?
That's right. It's a very difficult song to understand.
And then
I did insert it into the episode
so you
can hear. This is also Luann singing it live on a morning show. Ooh. And I'm going to say live in quotes in bunny ears because she's singing over the top of her track quietly.
Oh, my God. I should have shared it with you. Someone on Twitter sent me an SNL clip of the ladies of real whatever housewives that you've never heard of and their soundtrack. And they all it's all talking. Elegance, dancing, makeup, like this. And then all of a sudden it goes into that dubbing with the, like, you know, where they put the sound, like the, what am I trying to say? The equalizer, like their sound, like womp, they're robots.
Womp, womp.
No,
oh,
but
yeah,
their
yeah.
voices
oh, no, the
are.
Auto-tune.
Auto-tune is like, and yeah, they're yeah, all yeah, in yeah. auto-tune. It's so good. I'll send it. I'll
that sounds
repost
great.
It. It's really funny. Aaliyah said, I do want you to know that in Philly, there are fat Tonys out there selling baby turtles, 2 for $5 or 1 for $3 on the side of the road.
So are
I was
there?
100% right about fat Tonys selling hamsters, but these are turtles.
Did everyone get our disclaimer for the last episode that apologized for the Jersey accents that were seriously like 60%?
Yeah. If you didn't like it, like, I don't mind if you just turned it off.
Yeah, because you might have had to.
But
and they were extensive, and we kept going.
Yeah.
It's like we couldn't be stopped.
They were culturally wrong, not accurate, were, offensive.
We lost 5 to 50 New Jersey listeners. That's how I'm guessing how many we have
yeah.
from New Jersey.
Yeah. I'm hoping,
and
like,
I'm
26
sorry.
Will come back.
Let us get win you back.
Yeah.
Because we didn't mean it. We're doing it out of love. We just, we're not that good.
No, we're just not. We're not good.
But we
even though we did save Leah's life with her epilepsy meds. So
that's good.
We did
that's
one good thing. We did miss a great title from LV. He was a skater boy. Kathleen said, see you later, boy. Right?
Yeah, Avril's always good.
Yeah, so Stephanie requested, because we were late, that we do what I thought was Kristen Cavallari saying, Steve Ben from...
But when did you ever do that?
I've probably... Maybe I've never done it.
You've never done it.
I just thought I had done it, maybe. And I thought you had done it, but you've never seen Laguna Beach.
No.
So it doesn't make any sense.
And you've never done it.
No.
No. No sense.
No. And then, so it was Nancy Grace.
Yeah.
Saying it to the guy who was the crazy guy with the facial hair that killed the student. And he was her neighbor. And he snuck into her apartment and killed her in the bathtub. And he was interviewed on the news all the time because
yes.
he wanted
yes,
to be
yes,
on the
yes,
news.
Yes. And a bunch of people have covered it. Yeah, that case.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So you were maybe doing an impression where you were saying, Steven, what'd you do to that baby girl?
No, it was probably, where'd you put the body?
Yeah.
No, because that is me doing an impression of Detox on Drag Race during Snatch Game doing Nancy Grace. That's my impression of Detox, not actually Nancy Grace.
But it's still pretty good
Nancy
of Nancy Grace. Just do one for Stephanie. Just do it for Stephanie.
I just did it.
2 days after the child is missing, she is drinking at the bar.
Unfortunately, that is not a match.
But we do have a DNA match, and that's coming up next after the commercial break. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Why did you kiss that dog?
That's nasty.
Sorry. That's all I got.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I can't do that unrehearsed.
Yeah, you killed that baby angel.
Oh, you killed that angel baby. What'd you do with that baby girl?
Thank you guys. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We have the best conversations all week long. It's just so much fun on there. Leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to us and make sure you're getting our notifications because sometimes we switch episodes. We don't record the new one on Fridays and you'll only know if you're following us on social media and getting all the updates because Dateline's been doing a lot of really sad ones. So we've been switching a lot. So
yeah,
sorry about that.
But I hope
that.
You enjoyed Kimberly's favorite.
Yeah.
Last week because
oh,
that
was
a fun,
good
that
one.
Was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's never fun. We shouldn't. I saw something on Instagram. This someone was saying, like talking about like
we
someone
know.
Saying
these are our people. These are our true crime fans. They know sometimes
right.
it's entertaining, even though it's
but
terribly
not
sad.
To, yeah. Because did you see that Instagram post? And it said the thing it was a quote and it was like, my worst nightmare is that I get murdered.
Yes.
And two people are like, oh, we've got a good one for you today.
See, and I was like, but most people in the comments were like, I think the exact opposite. I want it to be a good one. I want Mank to cover it. I want Keith to cover it. I want I want it to be on every ID network show.
Yeah.
That it just at least make it memorable. That's how most of our listeners feel, I think. Mm-hmm. And you can follow us, join our Patreon group, patreon.com/JateDateline. You get an extra Guacan episode every month. Also, we really could not do this for free every week without the support of our Patreons. So if you meet a Patreon in real life, thank them for all the episodes that we get to do. Everyone, meet us, come to CrimeCon. It's almost the end of using our code, which is...
It is. It's almost the end.
Dateline 19. You can still use our code for like another week and that's it. So...
And then no discount.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't watch alone. Watch with... Really should have thought of something here. Abraham Lincoln.
I was going to say, don't watch alone. Watch on the Floribama Shore. I wonder how close Eclectic is to the Floribama Shore.
Oh my God. I love Floribama Shore so much. It gives me life.
I know. Is it close?
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you right now. Show me. Show me where you are. Show me on the map.
This is great podcasting.
Yeah, it really is. It's Johnny on the spot. Oh my. Okay. First of all, I just want to say I'm looking up where Eclectic is in Alabama, and there's a town called Our Town. That can't be right.
That's got to be very confusing.
This town says Our Town. It's like there's a town called...
Where are you from? Our town. I know it's your town.
Where am I? There's like normal towns like Alexander City, Jackson's Gap. And then there's a town called Fish Pond, a town called Equality.
Ooh.
And a town called Our Town.
I feel like if you have to name your town Equality, there is not a lot of equality going on there.
Yeah. And I also want to say that they are in the smack dab middle of the state and nowhere near the Floribama Shore.
Apologies to Nielsa. We were wrong. Sorry.
Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Don't watch alone. Watch with Steve Bunn.
Just gonna make it work.
He never wrote a song for Linda. He wrote as though he lived alone. He wrote of dreams that end and of sad brave men inventing worlds he'd never known. But he never wrote a song for Linda. And she